Welcome to the EntrePastors Podcast. This show helps pastors think, act, and thrive as prosperous entrepreneurs. And now, here are your hosts, Les Hughes and John Sanders.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the EntrePastors Podcast. My name is John Sanders. I'm one of the co-hosts of the show, here with my friend Les Hughes and my other co-host, Les Hughes. Talk to me, Les. What do you know this week?
Hey, what's going on, John? Things are going well down in our neck of the woods. I love having the conversations that we get to have about what we do. And, you know, for our listeners, some of this may on the surface sound as if it's going to be a little bit repetitive, and you can share with them why in a second. But I really would like to encourage people to lean in, because we're going to share a couple of stories that we've heard even today about some really cool things that people are doing out there. I believe it's going to be an encouragement to the folks that are listening.
Yep. Totally agree. Well, on this this episode, we're going to do something a little unique. So for our listeners, Les and I recently were asked to guest host another podcast of a friend of ours, Dale Sellers and the 95 Network. If you've never heard of them or never checked them out, do so. Go to 95network.org and give them a look. They are an organization, and I'm going to say we because I'm a part of the team over there. We are an organization that serves and helps the small to mid-sized church, and there's a ton of resources for small church pastors through 95 Network, and I serve as the director of coaching with that organization. And so love Dale, love the group, love the team there, and Dale asked me to fill in, and specifically he said, hey, would you and Les come on and do a podcast for 95 Network. So we said yes, and then we thought, man, that was such a good conversation. We're going to share that with our audience as well. So we're kind of cross-pollinating two podcast platforms here. But like Les said, in some ways, you're going to hear stuff, if you've been a regular listener, you're going to hear some stuff that might sound a little redundant because you're like, we already knew that. But there's also some really good new information that Les is going to share. And here's what we know about podcasting, too, is that people don't always start at episode one and work their way through. It's very possible this may be the very first episode you're ever listening to, and so you're going to get a good picture as to what EntrePastors is and how we serve pastors. So anyway, Les, anything else you want to say before we cut to the powerful conversation between John and Les?
Yeah, just that, you know, a lot of times we talk to people who want to share this message with others. They think about people that are in their world and they really need to hear this. This would be a good episode to share with somebody else too, if you want to kind of introduce them to this, to what we do. This would be a good one to share. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's good. All right, guys. Well, we're excited about the conversation you're getting ready to hear between myself and Les. So when you hear us as though we sound like we're on a different podcast, it's because we are. So I'm not going to edit any of the audio. It's just going to be what it is. We're going to cut it loose right there. So here we go. Check it out. Well, hello, everyone. If you're hearing my voice right now and thinking, well, this does not sound like Dale Sellers, it's because I'm not Dale Sellers. My name's John Sanders. I'm one of the team members here with the 95 Network. I am the director of coaching and oversee some of the coaching that we do for pastors and for churches. But I have a pleasure this week of getting to fill in for Dale on the podcast. Dale asked me to have a conversation with my partner, Les Hughes, about something that we're excited about and building in another arena, a platform called EntrePastors. So I'm kind of the host slash guest. If that like a player coach type of a thing, I guess. But I have with me Les Hughes. Les, welcome to the 95 podcast, my friend. It's great to get to talk to you on this platform.
What's up, John? Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. You and I hang out a lot together over on our podcast together, the EntrePastors podcast. But Dale asked us to come over here and have a conversation about that. And I think that's going to be easy enough for you and I to do. We want to have a conversation around this idea about encouraging pastors to be out in the marketplace as entrepreneurial pastors. So why don't we start here? If you don't mind, Les, just kind of give the high-level story of EntrePastors, how it came to be, and what is it? Like, what is it that we do specifically at EntrePastors?
Sure. The what is it would be easy first to start off with that. So basically, we help pastors think, act, and thrive as prosperous entrepreneurs. We help pastors blow up the model of the starving pastor. We don't accept that. And we just don't receive it at all. And we believe there's a better way for those who desire it, you know, for those who want it, for people who are looking to stop living from paycheck to paycheck, to stop apologizing to their family members because they have such limited resources that or limitations that they can't do some of the things that they want to, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We want people who really desire to have that kind of financial and even time freedom to a degree, and to put into practice in the marketplace their the skills and the gifts, the way that God wired them, then we want to give people with not only pastors, but people with also a kingdom mindset or maybe a ministry background, maybe missionaries or church planters. I mean, there are a lot of people that sort of fit into that category in their desires, you know, to think, act, and thrive as a prosperous entrepreneur. But that it all started, the genesis of it was when you and I joined a mastermind group separately. Mm-hmm. I think at the time the two of us and then one more individual were pastors in a group of about 25 people or so from that are different kinds of entrepreneurs, but most, if not all of them, with a similar kingdom, you know, mindset and background, purpose-driven stuff.
Yeah.
And we began to talk about the burden that we have for people in our tribe who just struggle. And we'll talk about what some of those challenges are, I'm sure. And then we started just dreaming and brainstorming and what if this and what could we call it? And we began to, and pretty soon Entree Pastors was born.
Yeah. I want to circle back to a phrase that you mentioned and we blew right past because you and I use this phrase all the time of the starving pastor. And I want to unpack that. But before we do, I think it's helpful to the audience here to let them both know you and I understand this world of pastoral ministry. We have been around it many years. I grew up in a pastor's home. I have served in the pastorate for decades. What about you? What's your story in terms of your relationship to pastoral ministry?
Yeah, I grew up also in a pastor's home, a very entrepreneurial guy. In fact, the first time I ever saw the word entrepreneur was when I walked past our coffee table and I saw an Entrepreneur magazine on the coffee table. I had no idea what that meant. And so I asked my dad that and he told me what that meant, but I knew right away because that's what I saw him doing. He always had some sort of thing going just to exercise that entrepreneurial sort of mindset. So, you know, he was bivocational, co-vocational for a good while. And even when he was what we would call, you know, full-time employee of a local church, he still had these other things going. So, you know, fast forward, that was not my lifestyle, I would say, for a long time. Even though it's in my spirit, I just wasn't practicing that until just a few years ago when I pulled out for a season of full-time church employee, being a full-time church employee. But, you know, in my heart, I never stopped being a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, I never stopped being a shepherd. But I quickly learned that there was, in my stage of life, there just wasn't a whole lot of wisdom in relying on only one source of income, no matter what source that was. That's mm-hmm. just one of our core beliefs. And so that began to manifest itself in different ways. And then, you know, the door opened up for me to, I really felt like God was leading me to accept a call to a local church pastorate again, which we did. And I'm serving now in the Birmingham metro area in Alabama and love it, but I still have a lot of other things that are going on, like I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for sharing that little bit of an introduction. All right, now the starving pastor, you and I kind of ripped that phrase off of, we stole it from the phrase a starving artist. When we hear about the starving artist, we kind of all know what that means. You know, it's this idea, the caricature of an artist that is so pure to their art, and they're just struggling to make ends meet. They would never dream of selling their artwork. That would somehow, you know, d- dilute the purity of the art of which they create. And so therefore, they're just this struggling artist barely making it in life. And people are fairly comfortable with that concept and that idea. By the way, I often recommend there's a book out there called Real Artists Don't Starve. So if you are a creative person and you're trying to sell or like the idea of, you know, making a living from whatever it is, whatever the art is that you create, it's a great book, Real Artists Don't Starve by Jeff Goins. But from that, you and I kind of coined the term the starving pastor. Now, nobody ever uses that terminology in our culture or in our church world. And yet, Les, you and I believe that there's that's a very real narrative in the church. So earlier you mentioned, let's blow up that narrative of the starving pastor. Talk about that. Do you mean to tell me, Les, that like Christians and even pastors are kind of comfortable with the idea of a pastor that is barely making it financially? Like, is that a real thing?
It is a real thing. I don't know how much people that are living it are comfortable with it. But somewhere along the way, and it goes way, way back before you and I were ever around, people began to attach this moral value to possessions. And we can go back, if we want to talk first century, we can talk about where Jesus said you can't serve both God and wealth. But we're not talking. You know, we're only still talking about having one master. Like, we still only have one master.
Amen.
But that has really nothing to do with whether you're prosperous or not in the marketplace. Matter of fact, we could both make a pretty good argument that the New Testament model and for centuries, the model of the first century church was people served, they pastored, they you know, led, they were spiritual leaders, but they still earned a living doing other things.
Well, yeah, I'm going to interrupt for just a minute to say it's not the marketplace that's the issue. Many in the body of Christ are comfortable with people in the marketplace doing well and having wealth and having, you know, financial margin in their life. It's the pastorate that we struggle with. It's the idea of a pastor who's thriving financially makes us a little nervous. We're very comfortable, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, Les, but we are very comfortable with the idea of a pastor who they don't make much money. Why? Because they do it for the Lord. And so let's examine the underlying belief that if what we're doing is for the Lord, it should be given at no cost or low cost because it's ministry other than just some icky secular business. So we're okay if a plumber's doing well or a doctor's doing well, but a pastor, not so much. And that's
that's it.
Yeah.
But it keeps pastors out of the marketplace. It's one of the main thing that keeps them out of the marketplace when there's this pull to go there and to be there, have a foot or maybe both feet there. And other times we have both feet, you know, in ministry somewhere, or I'll say in church employment somewhere. And that's another thing. We have a tendency, and I just slipped into it, you know, to refer to any kind of church work as ministry and marketplace stuff as marketplace stuff. But, you know, in God's economy, there's no distinction there. We're called, you know, to serve. I don't take my kingdom hat off when I step into the marketplace, or I better not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's called hypocrisy,
right?
And double-mindedness. So what I was referring to before is where we place this moral value, so that if I'm going all in on a church and somehow am not either not receiving much compensation for it or any, which in some circles we know individuals where that's true of, somehow that has more moral value or more righteousness attached to it than somebody that's out there that's earning a six figure, you know, income. And I'll mention later, if you'll remind me, a testimony from somebody that we just spoke to, who talked about how you can't talk about this stuff if you're a pastor and you're doing real well in the marketplace. In addition to what's going on at the local church level, there's just some places you can't talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to remember to circle back around and share that story. So here's the deal, Les. You and I are not trying to convince a pastor to be out in the marketplace. So we're not opposed to the idea of a pastor who is, I'm going to use the word like traditional, you know, full-time vocational ministry. That we're not making the case that that's doing anything wrong or immoral.
Right.
I'm I've been there, done that. You've been there, done that. We both have the t-shirts from that. My t-shirt isn't very nice because my paycheck wasn't very good, but but we're not opposed to it. T-shirt. And so we're not trying to talk anyone into this who's opposed to it. Like if you are like, I just want to be a pastor. I do not want to be out in the marketplace and have a business. That's okay. We're not trying to convince you to do it. Here's what we know. The average pastor is overworked and underpaid. That's a statement of truth. Like most pastors work way more hours in the week than what their meager salaries are, you know, reimbursing them for. They're being underpaid in terms of the marketplace. Our solution to that is not let's help you get more money from your church. I mean, we could have that conversation. Maybe in some cases that needs to happen. But again, kind of goes back to that whole that narrative of the starving pastor. Even if a church was able to pay their pastor more professionally, like comparably to what other professionals and other industries receive, most churches are not going to be willing, even if they had the financial wherewithal. So we don't even engage in that. That's not our point with Entree Pastors. Here's what we say. Pastor, let's help you get out in the marketplace where there is no ceiling to your earning potential, and it's not to the exclusion of your pastoral ministry. It is both and. It is a win-win scenario for you and the church. Les, the question I want to ask you is, why now especially is this such an important conversation? Why do we think that this is a really timely thing for us to be helping pastors have this thought process and launch a business as we kind of look at the 30,000-foot view of where the church is and where some trends that we see? Like, why is this something that maybe a pastor may want to consider, even though we're not trying to talk them into it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that we've learned is that there are as many reasons and motivations and whys, W-H-Y, there are as many whys for to get somebody to go down this path as there are people that are going down it almost. But I know what you're asking. So let me answer it from that 30,000-foot view, and then I'll get a little more specific.
Sure.
The big picture is the landscape of the church is changing in so many ways. And it's a little bit cliche sort of to talk about paradigm shifts, but it's still true. And there's a major shift that's going on now in terms of church involvement, church attendance, even for people who claim to be followers of Christ. What they think is devoted and faithful, their definition of that is very different from someone who served in a local church even 5 years ago. I mean, even more 10 to 20. The churches are cutting budgets. They're cutting staff positions. I had a conversation very, very recently with someone who's not quite at retirement age yet, but church is getting smaller. It's getting older. He's been on staff a long time. He also has a small construction business that he began because he does a few rental homes, and he's not even in the Entree Pastor world. I don't know that he would even know the term. This is, our relationship is different. His and mine is different. Mm. So he was just sharing these things with me, and he's strongly considering transitioning out of his quote, I'm using air quotes, full-time position. He loves the church. He wants to serve the church, but he sees what's going on. Offerings are diminishing. Attendance is diminishing. The church is in more of a, if for people that are listening, they'll know what I'm talking about, a revitalization mode, and it may not ever quite get there, you know, but he loves it. So here's the reality of it is, he was almost apologetic as he said so, but he sees if he could pour more gasoline on his marketplace business, he knows that he could replace his salary and then some that he's dependent on the church right now. And he's just kind of looking for permission to do that. So that's one scenario. And basically then the big picture answer is the landscape of the church is changing. And here's the thing, Pastor. You as an individual can probably not do anything about it. Not in a cultural way, okay? Not in a macro kind of way. So real quickly, though, let me give you two scenarios that are very, very healthy, okay? Because sometimes we hear the the unhealthy story. There's a sense of urgency. My church is dying, or I've been forced out, or I'm, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. And I gotta make some money pretty quickly. That's mm-hmm. unfortunate, but we hear that sometimes. Yep. But not everybody's there. So let me share two quick stories. I won't give you all the details, but one is of a colleague of mine who is not at retirement age now, but he's mid-50s. He sees the off-ramp. He's not quite ready to turn down it yet, but he sees it. And he loves his church. He's got a healthy ministry. They're at a good place, really good marriage, awesome family. But he doesn't want to just hang it up, you know, completely. This guy's he wants to work. He's a go-getter. As is the case a lot of times with pastors, those first few years, especially those younger years, you're living, you know, you got little kids. And so you're not socking a lot of money away for retirement at some point. You may live in a pastorium or a parsonage for a while. You don't have equity in a home. He lived those years. And so he's building something now for maybe 7, 8 years or 10 years when he does not want to live that life in the fast lane as that full-time pastor of a local church anymore. He just wants to have the freedom to do that, John, when he feels like it's time to step off the train without staying because he has to for a paycheck. That's an awful feeling.
Yeah.
The other person that I spoke with yesterday, all right, I won't say what state he's in, but it's an awesome church. This dude is at the peak of his ministry. Things are going great. Healthy family situation, all that. Well, guess what? He's got like 3 girls and they're getting ready to start college. And then he knows there's going to be weddings down the road. Mm-hmm. It's going to bury him financially. And he makes a good living. The situation is not, his church is not doing what they need to be doing. They are. Mm-hmm. But he's like, man, there's some stuff coming. And so we're talking about how to, for him to use those skills and gifts to just create some other streams of revenue in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So those are two real healthy situations, different scenarios, but those are the kinds of needs that there are.
So what I'm hearing you say is that this isn't just about, you know, pastors in crisis going, you know, I just got fired and I need to go find a job or, you know, a stream of income. I mean, we do see those, or the pastors that are making next to nothing. I'll share a story with you. I had a conversation with a pastor a couple weeks ago, and here's a guy that is in, I'm going to use my air quotes now, full-time ministry. And his salary in this small church is $27,000 a year, his annual salary. He has a wife and children, and he has a parsonage he's living in. And so we were just unpacking some of that. And in the conversation, you know, he was saying to me, man, if I could just make an extra $1,000 a month in revenue, that would be a game changer for our family. I'm like, I bet it would. But then he goes on to tell me, Les, that the week before, he had painted the entire auditorium of their church. And this isn't like a small building. It's a fairly sizable building for one guy to paint the inside all by himself, scaffolding, the whole deal. And I asked a question that I already knew the answer to. I said, did the church pay you extra for your labor in painting that? No. And I said, do you realize, brother, if you had, say, launched a little painting business of your own and the church hired your business to come in and paint, I said, that's a $10,000, $12,000 job all day long to go paint an entire interior of a church of that size. And I said, that's way more than $1,000 a month. And you did that in 1 week. That's what a business can do for you. And you did it for free because it was expected because you're a full-time pastor. And then I asked another question I also knew the answer to, and that was, did they at least let you out of all of your other pastoral duties that week while you were working as a painter? And of course the answer is no. Like, he still brought the sermon. He still did all the things a pastor does and painted. And so it's like, look, that's not really that extreme of a story. We hear these types of stories on a regular basis, and that's where we want to come alongside that pastor and say, so let's build a business. Let's get you out in the marketplace. There's a lot of healthy benefits, not only for you, pastor, but for your church. This is a win-win to have pastors in the marketplace. Turns out there's a lot of lost people in the marketplace that need Jesus and a lot of ministry opportunities out there. But let's talk to some of the objections or maybe the common roadblocks that we see coming up for pastors when they come into our orbit, so to speak, you know, whether they find us through the podcast and then, you know, eventually we jump on a coaching call, maybe they get into our mastermind, whatever it is. When we are sitting face to face or screen to screen in some cases with these pastors and hearing their stories, what are some of the common challenges that we see them wrestling with when it comes to being out in the marketplace?
There are three that come to my mind right away. There are many more, and some of these are nuanced and can have sub points to them, but I think there are probably three. One of the major ones, and the one that we encounter the most first, is mindset around money, especially around money. Now, mindset covers a lot, but especially mindset around money. Part of that comes from maybe what our family background is. Part of it just comes from the language that we've either told ourselves or heard other people say. And it goes back to our conversation a few minutes ago about what's acceptable, you know, and part of it comes from this just being something that this has existed, the mindset and this, and the whole scarcity mindset has existed for a long time, but it's something that people just haven't talked about. And so, you know, we have our share of haters as well. The
what?
People that not only, it's hard to believe. Look how likable we are, John.
I like me a lot. I like you less.
But we do. We have our share of people that, man, it's not, you know, it's a free country. I mean, sort of. But people are really, they have strong opinions about this one. And we're, that's okay with us. That's fine with us.
Let me just pause you right there. Yeah. It is okay. I mean, you can think whatever you want, but that's the reality. Many pastors come to us wrestling with a mindset of, is it okay for me to actually to do okay financially? Yep. Like, can I thrive? And let's put it on the table, Les. You and I are not prosperity gospel, health and wealth, name it and claim it. That's not us. We're not in that camp. We see that as being an extreme, you know, taking some stuff out of context. But we're also not on the other ditch, and there is another ditch, my friends, and that is the scarcity gospel, that the more broke you are, the more righteous you are. Turns out, we found out, the more broke you are, the less you're in a position to really help people and serve out of the abundance that God has made possible for us. So anyway, this mindset thing, I just want to put an exclamation point on it. It's a legit issue that people, like, what are others going to think? What do I think? Am I okay with it? So yeah, there's a lot of hangups that we work alongside of pastors with to help them get okay mentally. Like, let's turn up the financial thermostat a little bit. Let's get you accommodated to a little bit more comfortable setting there.
And that's really the second one. You just mentioned it. It sort of is a mindset issue, but it's a separate, I consider it kind of a separate category, and that is what other people will think. Mm. It just really preoccupies a lot of people. What do other people think?
Do you mean like pastors are people pleasers and probably need to do some discipleship in their own heart around that?
I mean, it happens. Yeah. It's believe it or not, it happens. Yep. But, and the third challenge that they have a lot of times is where to start. So once they get past all the mindset stuff, or really sometimes it is that there's an urgency and a desperation, and they're it means more to them to be able to make a mortgage payment than it does what somebody's opinion is of them. Well, and good for them for settling that in their minds. But then once they settle it, a lot of times it's they pastors or people with the kind of background we're talking about, a lot of times they are very creative people. God's wired them that way because they're coming up with creative ways to reach people and to get their message out and or to grow their ministry or church or, you know, or organization. So to use those when they get in that mode, man, the ideas just start coming. And then the other part of that is once they get there, John, it's like, well, I could do this and I could do this and I could do this and I could do that. And they don't know really where to start. And that's something that we help guys with a lot, or help people with a lot, is just be able to focus and really put their resources, their time and other resources into one thing instead of trying to do everything. You know, the old proverb, we're trying to chase two rabbits and not catching any.
Yeah. So what I heard you is you almost described two spectrums, and I was going to bring one of these to the table. You kind of went initially to the other end where someone has so many ideas, like it's where do I get started, because I see so many ways that I could be involved, or I have a lot of different passions or ideas for what I could do in the marketplace. But another common thing that we see on the other end of that spectrum is pastors who come to us and say, John, Les, I went to Bible college and then seminary, and that's all I've done. I'm just a pastor. I've been in pastoral ministry for 2, 3, 4 decades. It's all I know.
And no marketable skill.
Yeah. I don't have any skills beyond ministry. And so it's such a fun process to walk beside a pastor and help them discover how so many of the skills that you have been using and honing over the years of serving the Lord and his people inside the four walls of the church, those are very marketable skills out in the marketplace. Whether you're talking about your leadership skills, your soft people skills of communicating and conflict resolution, or counseling, coaching, public speaking, administration, writing. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're coaching with a pastor right now who has, you know, for years been in the worship tech side of things, and we're helping him realize how he can use those technological skills and that tech support, helping not just other churches, but beyond other areas where that could be useful. And there's a market for that. So it's not a huge shift when you start to think about repackaging those ministry skills. So it goes from, I have no idea, I don't think there's anything I could do in the marketplace, to, oh my goodness, I could do anything I wanted in the marketplace. You know, one thing you and I say often is that pastors in many ways have an unfair advantage in the marketplace, because you really do have some skills that corporations or I'm just going to say the marketplace in general, because I'm not pushing you toward a corporate job.
Yeah.
But where the marketplace will reward that quality of, like, for instance, I have a small little handyman business. Do my pastoral skills work in a handyman business? I'm telling you, when I can show up and look someone in the eye and smile and be respectful and be confident and communicate clearly and demonstrate some trustworthiness and a level of excellence that I believe flows out of my relationship with Christ, I don't have to go tell them that's where it's coming from, but they see it. They see that fruit of God working in me, and they're like, you're not like every other handyman. And it's like, this isn't even fair, man. Like, I've got years worth of pastoral training that when I show up, I can sell a job no problem because of those people skills that I learned years in the trenches of working with people who suck in ministry. There, I said it. So,
yeah, because we just believe that the things that come easy to us, well, don't they come easy to everybody? Mm. Well, no.
No.
And that's some of the good news, is that what we're talking about, even if it's intimidating to you, guess what? You are where you are in part because you've learned some skills that were either taught to you by a mentor, or were taught to you by the Holy Spirit, or were taught to you by some academic institution. You've learned some things, and then you've put them into practice. Very little of what you do comes because you just were born that way.
Yeah.
Very, very little. And so many of the things that we're talking about, John, are learnable, teachable skills, and that is good news.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do this, Les. Let's wrap up this conversation with a couple things. First of all, I want to throw it to you to share that story you referenced earlier, because one of the things I believe that where we're adding value to pastors is we're creating a community where it's safe to talk about some of these things out loud. So I'll let you unpack that story. When you're done with that, I'm going to share with people how they can connect with us and maybe challenge them for some steps of action moving forward. And then I'll throw it back to you for maybe a final word of encouragement that you'd give to a pastor that's listening. So if you think this is a scripted interview, it's not, my friends. We're just shooting from the hip here. So you mentioned earlier in that
script,
in our,
what?
Yeah, right. You mentioned the story, and I know what you're referring to, and this is good. This fits really well here. So tell the story of what you want to say.
Yeah, this was a conversation that took place in our mastermind group just a little while ago, earlier this morning. And we do periodic updates where we share wins and challenges and what other people in the group, how they can help us. And so that was that's what the conversation was. And you were talking with a member of the group, and he said such an encouraging thing, and I'll boil it down into just a nutshell. But basically he was saying that the value that you were asking, what can we do? What value does this group bring to you? What can it bring to you? And he said, just the fact that I, talking about himself, just the fact that I can celebrate these wins and celebrate what's going on now in my life in the marketplace. He was talking about specifically in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't do that anywhere else. And he mentioned several reasons why.
These
are all well-meaning people. He still leads a local fellowship, a local congregation. And he said, but you know, I cannot celebrate these things there. He said, if I were to tell my church that, hey, I'm having an awesome year in the marketplace. I'm going to earn $250,000 in the marketplace this year. He said, that's a good way to get the church to cut my salary.
Absolutely.
And he said, that don't need to happen. And then he said, and he also leads a nonprofit. And he said, I can't share that with my nonprofit that I'm doing so well in the marketplace, because they think that, he didn't put it this way, but they think that his loyalties are being divided and his allegiance is being divided. Maybe he's not all in for them, and vice versa. So he can't share those things in those other, you know, areas of his life, because people just, number one, they don't understand. Some would become jealous. Some have what we call a scarcity mindset, and would have the false notion that, well, if he's succeeding that much over there, it must be costing us something over here, which is not the case, but that's the way that people think. But, you know, the bottom line of that is, he said, I love being in this group because they understand what I'm doing, and this is a safe place to celebrate, and people will celebrate along with me.
I love that. One of the pleasant surprises that I've had, Les, is you and I launched our podcast, and we're now just a little over probably a solid year and a half or more of doing this now, is that you and I are finding a whole bunch of pastors that are already working as entree pastors. And I'm not just talking bivocational. A quick distinction there is, so often, and I'm not opposed to bivocational, by the way, but it's this, when I hear bivocational pastor, I hear of a pastor who's trading his hours for dollars, working for someone else, punching a time clock just to make enough ends meet so that he can support his or her ministry habit. And that's not what that's not what we're about. Like, we want to help you thrive financially. And we think that business ownership is a great way to do that. We think there's really something there to the entrepreneurial side of things. So again, it may not be for everyone, but what I've been,
hey, by the way, one thing,
yeah,
John,
go ahead.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but I want to throw this in because I think it's important. He is still talking about having a mindset of abundance. He is killing it at the local church level as well. And he's taken those same entrepreneurial skills and gifts, and he's doing way more in that local church setting that you might, that somebody that's an outside observer might expect with what he's got to work with. I'll put it that way.
No, it's so good.
For what he's got to work with, he's being an amazing steward of that. And that church is thriving. But if he were, I'm going to say, only doing that, you have to hear my heart there. But if that's all where he were that he were doing, and if that was getting his entire focus, because of the way he's wired, John, he'd be miserable.
Yep. And we hear that story again and again. It may not be for everyone to have a business and be a pastor, but for those who it is, when we try to force them into that mold of, you are just a pastor because this is the way you give God full-time service, it creates very frustrated, discouraged, men and women that have a capacity for more, and they're being handcuffed by a system that is really holding them back and not blessing them. And so, what I've been pleasantly surprised is to find there are a number of pastors that are already out there doing exactly what we're promoting. But here's the thing, Les, here's the rub. We never hear their stories because it's not celebrated. It is not something that these pastors can get up. They're flying under the radar. They cannot get up in their churches and go, man, I just want to praise God. Like the guy you're mentioning, he's got a plan to build out a franchise to $5 million a year in sales. And when that happens, it's going to allow for them to do some really awesome things with their nonprofit and with some of the other ministry generosity that they have. But where can a pastor get up and talk like that in a normal church setting and you know, praise God for the growth that their business is having? We want to make that a normal conversation, and we want to provide that community where it's safe for pastors to be able to do that. So I just want to give, go ahead.
I just thought of one more thing that's, you don't even know about this yet. So, but I just happened to think about it because it happened today.
Do tell.
I had that, and it has to do with the individual we're talking about. So I was thinking about the benefits that people don't even see of him doing so well in the marketplace. I got a phone call earlier today from somebody that said, hey, do you know anybody that's in the Atlanta area that's needing has a job that they can give somebody, basically. That's looking for somebody for a job. And I said, yeah, I may. And I thought about him. I said, I may. Tell me about it. This young woman is 25. She has finished her undergraduate degree. She happens to be doing some seminary education, but online. She's getting ready to relocate I won't get into all the reasons, but she wants to move to the Atlanta area, which is where this individual is. So she wants to move to the Atlanta area. And she is, her life is, she's a missionary. Her people group that God has called her to are refugees. Mm. Okay. Guess what? You're not going to make a ton of income working with refugees, but that's her. That's what she believes God's called her that, but she's looking for work. Well, guess what? I talked to this individual, told him about her. He can't wait to talk with her because I think there's a place that he has for her she's going to be a full-time employee. She's also a student, and she's going to be, if that all works out, she will be working for an awesome guy who he's kingdom minded. He gets her life. Mm. He's going to work with her and be flexible and be understanding. He's also a really generous guy. So her needs are going to be met. If he wasn't doing so well in the marketplace, she'd still be searching and she might even end up for somebody. Now, God's providence is at work in her life. I get all of that. But the fact is that God is working upstream and is going to be using the individual that we're talking about because he is successful in the marketplace. And ultimately, that ripple effect of that is going to be reaching a whole lot of refugees with the gospel through this young woman's work.
Yeah. You know, when I hear you saying that, Les, my mind goes to this false dichotomy that we've really created over the years, and that's this, you know, sacred versus secular conversation that if you're going to serve God full time, that is then this sacred calling that's on your life, and that's primarily done through pastoral ministry or missionary work or whatever. And then if it falls outside of that, well, I'm sorry, you didn't get God's calling to full-time ministry. You're just out in this secular space. And as you alluded to earlier, there is no divide between the sacred and secular. We are called. Everyone's called. Everyone has a call of God upon their life. And if you have been called to preach the gospel and shepherd people, you can do that from a stage and behind a pulpit and inside the four walls of a church. And you can also do it out in the marketplace. And that's another thing that we see often with our pastors that are in the marketplace, the ministry they're having with their employees by creating the jobs through their businesses, by hiring people that maybe have a bit of a past and aren't as hireable, and the discipleship that they're able to do with those people through business as they're earning an income. It's incredible, man. Like, there's so many benefits that we see to having pastors out in the marketplace. And I just want to give a quick call to action for pastors that may be listening to this. If you're inspired by this conversation, you're like, man, where do I go get more of this? First of all, don't stop listening to the 95 podcast. We still want you listening to the great content that's here. But I will invite you to check out the Entree Pastors podcast. And that, you know, I'd say about half of the time, you and I, Les, are interviewing other pastors that are exactly that, out there doing it. And then the other half of the time, it's you and I creating content and conversations around this theme and these subjects. So come on over and check us out there. And then also, I want to talk about a four-day challenge that we run on a very regular basis with Entree Pastors. We call it 4 days to a profitable business idea. And so if you're sitting there going, this sounds interesting, maybe, I'm not 100% sure, here's a very low-risk way to jump in, totally free. If you go to, Les, what's our URL for that, to get registered for the challenge?
Mm-hmm. Well, just go to entreepastors.com. And you'll see all the good stuff there. But the specific challenge is entreepastors.com/4-day challenge.
There it is.
And it's just the number 4-day challenge. And that'll take you right to it. And you can see how to get signed up and get a seat.
Yeah. And basically what we do in that challenge, thank you for the URL. I was not remembering it there. But we walk you through some of the mindset issues. We help you do some assessment work about getting some clarity on what it is you want and how God has wired you for service in this world. Then we introduce you to 3 broad pathways that we can say, look, there's a couple different avenues you can choose to take, and we encourage you to find one that really fits you well. And then on the 4th day, we talk about some really practical, strategic things that that you need to know as you get ready to then launch your idea. So the goal is, like, by the end of those 4 days, hopefully we can help you get some clarity on what might that idea be for you, for your own business, and then we invite you to take another step forward in launching that business. But those are some steps of action that I would call you to. If you are a little bit more advanced down this road, if you're one of those entree pastors that are already out there doing it, and you resonate with the story that Les just shared of, like, I don't have anywhere to celebrate that. I feel very lonely. If I can quote this individual, I think his exact words were, "It's lonely as crap at times." Or was that not what he said,
what
Les?
He
and so, like, if you resonate with that loneliness of, like, man, I'm doing it, but I can't really talk about it. We have a mastermind that is by invitation only. You'd have to reach out to us, and we'd have to have a in-depth conversation to make sure that you're a good fit for that. But if you are, man, we'd love to invite you into that, where you can be not only supported, but you can also support others that are at that similar place. So wherever you find yourself on the journey, we feel like we've got something to offer you, and you know, would love to have you listen in and be a part of the community there. So Les, I'm going to throw it back to you as we start getting ready to land this plane, and maybe wind it up by asking you, what word of encouragement would you offer to that pastor that's listening to this right now? Maybe they're feeling a little bit stressed financially as they see those trends you mentioned earlier, that the attendance is not what it used to be a few years ago. The giving seems to be on a downward trajectory. I don't have much by way of retirement. And yet each passing day I get closer to that age. So, you know, what would you say to that pastor that's listening to this to encourage them and offer some hope?
Well, one of the things that I would say is you do not have to take this journey alone. Like, we know many, many, many people who could come alongside of you and offer help in some way and encouragement in some way and give you models, you know, depending upon, again, what your own goals are. But I would say in a big picture kind of way, the situation that you're in right now, no matter how long it might have taken you to get there, you do not have to stay there. And this is not original to me, but I do believe that it's true. And that is that everything is figure outable. And there's a solution to your situation, whatever it is. You probably didn't get there overnight. And so you may not come out of it overnight. Chances are very, very good that God has some things to teach you while you're there and as you're coming out of it. But I can promise you there are some solutions and there are some answers and there are some actions that you can take to move in the direction that you really want your life to go. But you have to take action. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect to get different results. And we'd be glad to help you any way that we can, or aim you toward somewhere else if that would be best for you. So please feel free to reach out.
Yep, that's really good. And the only thing I would add to that, or maybe if I had to answer that question for myself, what word of encouragement would I give is, Pastor, you have more freedom than you've likely been led to believe that you have. We have been so narrowly defined in terms of what pastoral ministry looks like, what it means to be in full-time ministry. And I don't know that, I think a lot of that has been man-made constructs. I think a lot of that has been traditional and cultural. And I don't know that those things that you feel are restraints right now were given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you have way more freedom in Christ than what you've been led to believe. And so we want to give you that encouragement. And I mean that in the literal sense. We want to instill courage in you. We want to empower you. We want to walk beside you and say, listen, go after this stuff. Like, it's okay. And you have freedom to live a more abundant life than what you probably have been experiencing. And if there's anything we can do to be of help, we would certainly be happy to do that. All right, well, there you go. That's John and Les being guest hosts on a different podcast, and now we're back wrapping it up for our own audience. So, Les, anything else you want to say about our conversation that we had? That was amazing, was it not?
I think it was. I mean, you know, humility forbids me from saying too much about it, John, but it was pretty good. You did a great job as a host.
Well, and likewise, you as a guest. It's not bragging if it's true, Les. That's something I've said for a long time. It's not bragging if it's true. So we did a good job. Man. I liked it.
Awesome. Well, again, this is a good episode. No kidding, for people to share. If you do want to share the message and help us get it out. And in addition to helping somebody else, it also helps grow our platform and get the message out to more people. So we appreciate all the help that y'all give us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we do have a brand new resource. So why don't we go ahead and give that away? This is hot off the presses. And I think it's pretty good, John. So
yeah.
You want to tell everybody how they can get it?
Yeah. Recently, Les and I got to take part in a kind of another community where we were sharing Entree Pastors. So we love getting to go share that story. And as a part of that, our team created another resource for us to be able to give away. So here's what we've got. We've got a little video training and a little PDF download that is going to help you deal with some areas around money mindset. And if you want access to that free resource, if you just go to entreepastors.com/money mindset, you'll see what we're talking about there. There's a little bit of a video and then a workbook thing that goes along with it, and it's going to help take you into some of your mindset stuff around money. It's a huge part of how we help serve pastors, so go check it out. Get yours for free, and thank you for doing that. So, Les, as always, my friend, it's a pleasure hanging out with you. Hope all is well in your world, and we will see you soon. God bless.
Same here, John.